Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Imprint Companion, a podcast that goes through batch by batch, release by release, the films from Imprint Films, a boutique Blu-ray label here in Australia. My name is Alexa Toliopoulos, and joining me as always to discuss cinema, it is Mr. Blake Howard.
Lex, hello my friend, how are you?
I am very well today, all the better for seeing you and all the better for seeing some frickin' movies, which is my favorite thing to do in this world.
Absolutely.
We're going to be talking about the June batch from Imprint Films. Mm. It contains many, many movies. It is a big batch. It contains the 1984 version of The Bounty. It contains the 2020 film Leap. It has a 2000 film, Milena. It has Not One Less from 1999 and My Summer of Love from 2004. And I know I just said and, meaning that it would be the last film that I would list, but there is, in fact, one more, and it is from 1992. It is by Louis Malle. It's called Damage. We're going to kick things off by starting with a film that we have both caught up with. I think it is a revisit for me, at least. Have you seen this film before?
Never saw it before until today. I've probably seen pictures from it before.
I would guess you've seen a few images from this film.
Seen a couple of images in the Google image search from this one, but no, I've never seen it before.
Well, let's start by talking about Giuseppe Tornatore's Milena.
A world at war. A young man coming of age.
Sabina,
And a woman who changed his life forever.
From the director of Cinema Paradiso comes another look back at Italy during World War II. This is a little different from Cinema Paradiso, yet it is still very sentimental. It is Malena, starring Monica Bellucci. Malena, played by Monica Bellucci, tells the story of the most beautiful woman in an Italian village who becomes a subject of malicious gossip among the lustful townsmen and their jealous wives. But only her most ardent admirer will learn the untold true story of the mysterious and elusive Malena, who inspires new heights of compassion, courage, and independence. I had seen this movie before. I remember my cousin was reading, I think she was reading the book, yes, or something. She knew about this story. My cousin is Sicilian, and I think we watched the movie together. It would have been just after it had come out on VHS, or maybe early DVD, and back then I thought, you know, I was quite into Italian cinema. I loved Cinema Paradiso. And I was just like, wow, this is a great movie. And I think in my head, I'd always thought, like, this is a great movie. Watching it back, this is not a great movie. But this is a really dirty little rotten film, in my opinion.
Look, what we can say about Tornatore here, and I'll try and start with, like, what he's trying to do. I can really see what he's trying to do. He's putting a lens and casting his gaze on a very fascinating time in Italian history where it's like this self-actualization. Fascism emboldens a couple of countries around, you know, World War II, especially Germany. It's the kind of like skeleton key to them rebuilding after World War I. And then obviously they go on and do many horrific and heinous things. And Italian fascism under Mussolini, like that, you know, drastically changes. And so it's this weird time where it's like this perfect time in Italy. It's a time of growth. It's a time of, like, you know, burgeoning, you know, growth of the Italian empire again. It's got a lot of this stuff, and there's a lot of rah-rah. People are feeling hope after World War I. And so it's interesting to see that, like, kind of false, weird, fascistic, you know, rah-rah hope that's happening. So he's trying to do something there, and he's trying to use Malena as, like, a document, if you like, as a case study through the eyes of a teenager who is completely, you know, it's fantasy. It's pure voyeurism through his eyes of her experience of life. And it is trying to show the quandary of being a war wife, the quandary of, you know, living in these towns and under these sort of levels of judgment, the fact that a lot of the younger, you know, men were soldiers and were off at war, and all of the kind of intrigue that happens in town and the gossip and all that sort of stuff. But it wholly adopts the eyes of just the absolutely worst, pervy, five times a day masturbating teenager you've ever seen in your life. And it feels gross. It just is like, it by adopting his gaze solely, it takes a lot of the nuance, I think, out of what the story actually is going for. And rather than seeing nuance, you just see Monica Bellucci's body, firstly, beautifully and, like, stoically and just like a pure object of fantasy. And then you see her, like, being punished for her body by being, you know, being abused by different men and exploited, and then being hated by the town because, you know, her entire life changes and she's desperate to sort of survive in this interwar period and be protected. And I just felt raw about this movie when I watched it. I'm like, there's nothing sexy or sensual about it. It actually feels awful. And Tornatore seems to love Monica Bellucci having to be accosted by the ugliest, most disgusting people. And I was just like, it's just icky. I didn't like it.
It's definitely a film about misogyny.
Yes.
But I think it exhibits and speaks through misogyny as well. So I don't know. It's not one that I would recommend unless you're really curious. On the positive side, it is shot beautifully. It's shot by Lajos Koltai, and who did Mephisto, a movie that I know you're a big fan of, Blake.
Love that movie. But it also has an incredible, exquisite score by Ennio Morricone. Like, beautiful score. Like, that's the thing, is, like, from a pure technical and formal standpoint, beautiful. The sets are amazing. The towns are exquisite. The color, there's something about, you know, you, my beautiful Greek Australian prince would know this too, but it's like my friends have just recently gone on holiday to Greece, to Mykonos, and they take photos and there's just something about that Mediterranean sun. And it's just like, it's just magical. It's like, it's almost like it's designed. Someone has tweaked a filter so that it'll look like a place. It looks exquisite. It's spectacular. It's the original uncut Italian version. So it's great. But I just do want to shout out, like I didn't get to the making of Milena, but I did check out The Life and Dream of Giuseppe Tornatore, which is a 50-minute doco on him, which is great, you know. So I would really recommend that on this disc because he's a famous filmmaker and he's, you know, had a massive footprint on international cinema. So it was interesting to check out that one as well.
Yeah. He is one of those breakthrough filmmakers that kind of pushed European film in the 90s and 2000s and stuff that people into mainstream, like Western cinema, people were getting into Giuseppe Tornatore. So he's a big filmmaker. It's a big release. Like I said, maybe check it out if you want to. If you need a bit of a grub fest, you can't go too wrong with Milena. Next up, should we talk about perhaps one of the bigger releases in this, a curious film. It is the 1984 adaptation or retelling of The Bounty, aka the mutiny that happens upon this ship. William Bligh Anthony Hopkins was a real-life sea captain who in 1787 steered HMS Bounty on a 27,000-mile voyage into danger, chaos, and madness. After 31 days battling severe sea squalls and Bligh's ever-increasing cruelty, the weary crew is relieved to land on the tropical island of Tahiti. But soon, their tyrannical captain wants to set sail again, and the desperate men turn to First Mate Fletcher Christian, played by Melanie Gibson, to help take the ship by force. This has been adapted many, many times.
Many times.
What is unique about this adaptation and this humongous box set of this release?
You know, especially after being so close to another great Australian's film set on a ship, Master and Commander, The Bounty, directed by Roger Donaldson, another great
Another Aussie,
really takes to, I guess, the hostility. If there's one thing that this Bounty does, apart from just being the source of many of the greatest impressions by Rob Brydon in the Trip movies, is this completely hostile and sort of toxic environment that comes on a ship. Like, rather than say Master and Commander, Peter Weir has, there's this wonderful sort of fatherly paternity fellowship of the men that's on that ship, and order and structure and discipline and tough love, and there's a great relationship, and there needs to be this almost like harmony. But what's cool about this is that it kind of, like, Anthony Hopkins's Bligh is not an honorable guy. He's a weird unit. And Anthony Hopkins is a weird unit. And I think that Roger Donaldson gets this right from the outset. He's like, I need to make him do things, but every single time he does things that might be like a disciplinary action, might be something to build fellowship between the between the crew, might be something like that. It always has like a perverse, almost like sadomasochistic edge that Anthony Hopkins brings to it. And therefore, when you get to this island, rather than many times in a lot of these sort of it's sort of like that, you know, the noble savage view, when people go there, it's like all these natives are usually, so the Tahitians in this instance are usually depicted with a lot of like disdain, or they're weird, or they're, you know, they can be manipulated by British rule, etc. But when you go to The Bounty, Roger Donaldson's film, they are hyper aware of their relationship with the British Empire. They're hyper aware that they're a trading route. They're hyper aware that they have to kind of please these Brits when they come in, and then make sure that they go away and don't upset, because they know that there's a both tactical and military disadvantage that they're under. And so I really like that the harshness of the ship drive them out of this, and they want to escape and they want to do anything, even if it means risking their lives and their reputations and doing that. And so there's such a softness and there's such a beautiful sensual allure that nothing on that ship, every hard splinter, has. And I kind of enjoyed that about it. It doesn't age as well. It's not, it doesn't resonate as good as it probably did at the time, because it probably felt a little bit more radical in its sexual portrayals and things like that, like earlier on. But I think there were some really beautiful things in it. And there's just something that this film has in 1984 of like a gigantic ship built to actually sail, going to real locations, and just the behemoth that must have been this film to build, to go together. And so I had a good time. I think Mel Gibson is completely miscast as Fletcher Christian.
Really?
I don't think he's good at all. I think there's a couple of other people who are really great on there. Liam Neeson is one of the background players in this, who he's quite terrific as this grubby sailor who's kind of one of the key sort of people in the mutineers. Daniel Day-Lewis is in this thing as well, in a bit part. It's like one of the last kind of bit parts that he'll ever do. And you can see that, you know, he's almost like, put me in, coach. Like, he just wants to be one of these guys. And I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis would have acted the pants off of Mel Gibson in that Fletcher Christian role. But it's got some highs and it's a massive set. So if you were like even remotely fond of it, the first disc is from a 4K scan of the original negative. It has a Roger Donaldson and Bernard Williams, who is the producer and production designer, John Graysmark, commentary. It's got historical consultant Stephen Walters doing a commentary. It's got making of docos on that disc. The second disc is like all these brand new interviews, all these brand new docos, all these brand new documentaries and stuff like that, that are all coming together. It's and a couple of essays. It's sensational. The pack, wow. The box is huge. It's epic. But yeah, it's a funny one because it doesn't quite work, but it's, I don't know whether it's just us not being used to like true big epic movie making anymore, but like there's something about it that I like. It was very transfixing for me, and it was actually my first time ever watching it. I've seen other Mutiny on the Bounties, of course, but I'd never seen this. And just watching it, I almost couldn't watch it because of the trip, because I love those movies so much, and so I just kept doing the impressions on my couch while I was watching it. But it's you know, maybe worth your while if you're a bit of a seafarer and you want to get this in your collection. Man, this is the one to get. It's massive.
Wow. Interesting. Gosh. What a curious film. And I'm glad that it's got a big release around it like this, because you can kind of like dig into it. Because all I really heard about it is that the screenplay was apparently very good and quite in demand. I remember hearing David Lean was originally going to direct it before jumping ship, if you will. yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to get into it.
And we'll be right back after this quick break.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus, the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blake, what's the next film that we should be discussing in this batch?
So next up, we are going to jump over to a 1992 film with Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche. It is Damage.
I ought to introduce myself. I'm Anna Barton.
Heard about you.
I'm sure she's very nice.
Stephen Fleming thought he had everything life could offer.
Hello, Martin.
Hi, Dad.
Any news?
He was wrong.
He's got a new girlfriend.
This is Anna, my father.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
And look up.
Yes, Miss Snow here.
I'm a friend of the minister's.
Give me your address. I'll be there in an hour.
My childhood wasn't all wonderful. Roots aren't that great unless something else comes with them.
Like what?
Passion.
All through dinner, I just wanted to touch you.
I don't trust her.
I've just asked Anna to marry me, and I'm pleased to say she said yes.
Of course, he's not Anna's usual type.
Mother.
Are you sure she's really what you want?
You don't know her. When we're alone, she's like no one else.
I can't see past you.
You must never worry. I'll always be there. Don't follow us.
Yeah, hello. There's nobody.
I've never had feelings like this. I have to get them into some sort of order.
You must get out of the way.
Who are you? Who are you?
Not enough. Not enough for you.
Do you think I would have married Martin if I couldn't be with you?
Why didn't you kill yourself?
You should have killed yourself. It's the end for us.
With love comes risk. With obsession.
Martin! Martin!
Comes damage.
I thought you could control life. There are things you can't control.
Academy Award winners Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche are lovers locked in the grip of sexual obsession. An obsession so strong, it drinks passion, breathes fire, and consumes everything and everyone it touches. Academy Award nominated director Louis Malle peels back the layers of one family's tragedy to reveal a middle-aged man, Irons, and his son's fiancée, Binoche, entangled in an intensely erotic affair that is as irresistible as it is destructive. Lex, you saw this one. I had this in my player before flipping over to watch one of the films we covered in the last episode that we did together, Bus Riley's Coming to Town. So tell me what you thought of Damage.
Damage is a nice, weird, little, grotty thriller from Louis Malle. I love Louis Malle. My Dinner with Andre, Elevated to the Gallows, Au Revoir, Les Enfants, The Fire Within. So many great films. He is one of the great filmmakers. This is... it's tense. It's a weird little movie because basically Jeremy Irons plays like this British politician from like, you know, quite a well-to-do family that's very well connected. And his son starts dating Juliette Binoche and it becomes a serious relationship. And she's this kind of damaged person. Everyone in this movie is damaged. That's why the title works so well.
Wow. Does what it says on the tin.
That he and his future daughter-in-law have an immediate connection and they begin to have a freaky little affair. And when I say freaky, the sex scenes of this are freaking, they're freaky. They're like slapping each other, like weirdly throwing their arms at each other while they're sleeping with each other. It's really, honestly, it's strange. My partner walked in while I was watching this movie and I was like, yeah, I'm watching this. I'm sorry. This is a strange movie.
I love that. There's so many times where my wife Sam has walked into my office where I watch a lot of my Imprint Films, and I've got a great telly in here and for the UHD and stuff. And I'm watching it, and so many times she walks in and there's just the most bizarre sex scene playing. She's like, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "Well, this is part of the job, you know, it's a tough part of the job."
This is the one that she has to walk in on next, because it is an odd one.
Try and cue it
like
up.
That tension, that quite works. It's like that kind of, that idea of trying to keep something a secret. It really works here. Obviously, Jeremy Irons is great in it. Juliette Binoche is great in it. But Miranda Richardson, who plays his wife, is electric. Amazing performance. She was even nominated for an Academy Award.
Really?
And I believe won the BAFTA for this film. It might be my favorite of her performances. Like, it's just really good. And she has like this really stinging pair of monologues towards the end of the film that are just some ferocious freaking acting. I really enjoyed Damage. I had such a good time watching it. If you like those kind of like, you know, I don't know if it's a genre, but affair thrillers.
Yes.
This is
quite love an affair thriller.
Intense little small one that has really big impact. Like the direction this film goes is really interesting. I give it a big recommendation. I mean, I love Louis Malle. It's hard to not to. So anything where he explores something a bit fucked up and twisted like this is pretty cool.
Get that on a poster. Lex, what are we covering next?
I think we've got time for one more film, and it's one that you've had a chance to catch up with, and it is My Summer of Love.
What's your name?
Mona.
I'm Tamsin. Drop by if you're bored. I'm here all summer.
So it's just you and your brother in your pub?
He went inside and he came out funny.
He went to prison.
If I can be saved, anybody can be saved. I have prayed for my sister, because I know she's in turmoil.
Apparently I'm a bad influence on people.
God, you're quite beautiful.
Who is it?
I think it's your brother.
He's a very attractive man, your brother.
There's something with that girl going on inside her.
I love her. She loves me. Going away together.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Serious?
Yes.
Not joking?
Not joking.
Okay.
I have a real problem believing in anything.
Ask love to come into your heart. And you will.
What's going on, Tam?
I don't think we should carry on.
By Pavel Pavlovsky, Oscar-winning filmmaker of Ida and Cold War, it is an early film from his career, 2004. Kindred spirits from different worlds become entangled together one volatile summer in this passionate psychological thriller. Local girl Mona is a naive, reckless, and filled with yearning for something more in life. Tamsin, played by Emily Blunt, is spoiled and bored and trying to escape the confines of her prep school existence when she draws Mona into her fantasy world. But what started as a magical friendship soon becomes laced with deception and anger. My Summer of Love was met with critical acclaim on its release in 2004 and was nominated for 5 BFI Awards and won the BAFTA for Best Film in 2005. It also stars the man of the moment, Paddy Considine. Blake, what did you think about this one? This is one that was not really on my radar at all till this release. I have like kind of faint memories of it being a bit of an art house favorite on release, but I didn't get a chance to watch it. I'm envious because you did.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting in the best possible sense, because Mona, who's the main character played by Natalie Press, she's a small town kid. and she's gotten herself into trouble. She's a bit listless. She doesn't know what to do with her life. Her and her brother own a bar, but he goes to jail because he's sort of gets caught up in some illegal activities, and he comes out of jail and he's like a bit of a born again Christian, converts the pub into a place of prayer. And her entire life is all up in here because she no longer has a job. She no longer has her family business. Her brother is completely different coming out. And really, it's a bit of an awakening to like the selfishness and the callousness of people around you, and trying to find comfort and trying to find direction because she's so listless and everything in her life has been all up in the air. She's been exploited by everyone that she's there. And she feels like she builds this amazing connection with Tamsin, played by Emily Blunt, and starts to have this awakening. And so there's this kind of love story that starts to happen, and she feels like she's making genuine connections. She feels like she's making growth. She finds someone who she can really confide in and be a part of her world, and is really brave and busts the fluff and shows her all the hypocrisies that are surrounding her. But that is an orchestration, and it becomes this thing where she gets entangled into Emily Blunt just kind of like playing with her as a plaything, having this imagined world for a summer fling. But it's like that same, it's almost like the, I don't know, the cautionary tale of a summer fling, that it is made up. You know, you are buying into a view of the world just for, you know, a summer period, a few months, and then that's it. And I think the bite from Pavel Pavlikovsky is why it was so well received. It's because it's like you've got this working class kid who's trying to find some direction in life, who gets lured in by these people who are exploiting her in many different ways, whether it's her brother controlling her, saying that she's a sinner, whether it's the girl that she loves, you know, lying to her. It starts to be this awakening where she starts to kind of see the ugliness of the world. And so it does have a bite, and it feels very art housey and lovey. But I think as you get to the ending of this movie, and it sort of like it sheds all those art house tropes, the conclusion of the movie is exceptionally moving. So I had such a great time with it. And I think that Natalie Press's performance is really terrific, as is Patty Considine's, and Emily Blunt is great as always. But I had a good time with this, like not being in a firm position on it until the end. But once the end happens and you kind of see the ugliness of the world, it's not something that I would say that you're going to get a lot of mileage out of. You're not going to want to revisit this thing every year, but having not seen it, it was really excellent. And I had a good time watching it. And it is that, you know, I know that you and I have an affinity for these movies, but it's like the small town with the dark secret. And the dark secret is that everyone is lying to themselves, and the reality of the world that is around them. It's like how people buy into their existence or live their existences by kind of writing their own story, even if it's not the truth. And I think that, you know, Mona, Natalie Press's character, is the truth, you know, by the end of it, she can cut through the BS, and she's completely aware of what the world is. And so that was kind of refreshing. And I had a really good time by the end of this movie that, you know, it had really hit. It had resonated for me by that moment.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. It's almost not at all what I thought this film would be. I think it looks like a
sexy, sensual bullshit art house movie, and in some respects it is. But I think by the end of the movie, the twists and turns of this tale and how you see it all come to its conclusion, I think is the turn. I think it's like everyone is watching this movie going, I've seen this art house movie 500 times. And I think what is really powerful about it, and without sort of going into the nitty gritty of the spoilers, is that when you are confronted with the reality of what we're seeing and what we have seen, and you start to, you know, it's just cast a light on everything that you've seen to that point. I was like, nah, this is really good. Like the payoff, the juice is worth the squeeze. So yeah, I think it's definitely worthwhile for you to check out. And yeah, I don't think there's any like wild slapping sex scenes that you need to be too concerned about in this one. But so not to be too worried about watching it on the big screen in your lounge room. But that's what I thought of my Summer of Love.
Great. Well, that brings us to the end of our conversation of the July batch, of the June batch of Imprint Films. Next time we reconvene for this podcast, we're going to be going through the July batch, which is a bit of a monster.
It's a monster.
Three massive box sets. One of them with featuring some works from Gene Hackman. The other one is a massive Walter Hill box set. And finally, a Sydney J. Fury directed by a box set as well. Huge. Three huge big releases. We're going to try and tackle as many as we can in them, but it is a mighty task. So we will see how we go by the time the episode comes out.
We'll try and... all we can say is we'll definitely try and break some of these box sets into individual episodes. I think the Walter Hill one is enough for us to chew on. There'll definitely be a whole one on that box set. We'll try and get the Sid Fury and Gene Hackman's under control. But if you're just counting this batch in July... in the Walter Hill box set, there are 6 films, including an absolute behemoth of special features, including commentaries by one of my favorite film critics and Walter Hill chronicler, Walter Chore. You then go into the Sid Fury box set, you have 5 films in that one. So that's, now count them, that's 11 films. And then if you then go to the Gene Hackman's, there is another 4. So that's 15 films in the next batch. It's absolutely unbelievable. And then August is coming hot on its heels. So very excited to talk to you guys about that. I'm so thrilled, Lex, that we're just going to pour through. And I'm going to, I can tell everyone here, check if you're not following us on Letterboxd, you can find us there as well. I'm one Blake Minute on there as well, but you'll check in my diary. I'll logging all of the Walter Hills, then all the Sid Furies. I'm going through a big marathon in spine number order to rip through both of those, even though I've seen a couple of them before. But I'm so excited to see him on Blu-ray. And The Driver, 1978's film, is on the 4K, which is so exciting.
4K.
A mix of blue and 4K.
I watched it yesterday. It's fantastic. Yeah, well, very cool.
Cannot wait to talk to you about it soon. Guys, thank you so much. Make sure you continue to follow. You would have heard more about it last episode, but go and follow the Total Reboot feed if you don't already, which is Alexi Toliopoulos and Cam James's show is now Special Features, a new way to tackle pop culture.
It is now the Special Features feed, Blake. It's a Special Features feed now. Total Reboot.
No longer the reboot. Okay, excellent. The Special Features feed exists. The boys are talking pop culture over there. Check that out. It is terrific. I've really enjoyed their Tom Cruise discussions. It seems like 2 episodes because it was the best movies of the year so far. A little bit of Mission Impossible chatter. Uh-huh. And then the Tom Cruise rankings. Very good. Excited to hear more there. And of course, wherever you're listening to this, One Heat Minute Productions is where I'm at. More episodes of Podcaster and Commander, Miami Nice as a staple, new audio essays coming up soon as well, and a couple of big series coming in the back half of the year that are starting to take shape. Midnight Run Through and The Great Muppet Caper. No, The Great Henson Caper about the life of Jim Henson with Ethan Warren. So excited about that one. We'll catch you on the next monstrous size batch unpacking of the July bundle of the Imprint Companion soon.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Keep your walls and trim protected while you paint with Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. It's designed for use on multiple surfaces and can be removed easily without leaving residue behind. Save big on Scotch Blue Painter's Tape from Menards. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all of our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.